Our community connection is in Monroe County, where Sergeant Major Mark Bayless and Aaron Kelly discuss Valor, a regional nonprofit for soldiers to regain their stability and independence in their lives. Mark Bayless takes the story from here.
Valor is an acronym of Veterans Assisted Living Outreach. We started out helping homeless vets in austere conditions out in the woods and getting them connected with service agencies that could help them get housed. As it grew, when we realized, oh, this is bigger than just us, we're going to have to do something more formal. The first person I reached out to was a colleague of mine. He was running a Christian-based counseling charity that focused on veterans and first responders called The Sanctuary. That was summer of 2011, and I got our nonprofit status January 2012 as our founding day. Then it's grown to be four core programs. From two guys thinking they could make a difference, it's now potentially up to 800 volunteers a year and 11 paid staff.
Between the combined efforts with you and your friend from the Christian Counseling Charity, approximately how many veterans have you been able to help so far?
We helped 4,444. How about that for if you're a numerology person, for a lucky number? People in 2025, and in 2012, I think it was 35. If it were not for the young woman to my right, it would be much more difficult. So as those programs grew, we opened a homeless shelter in 2014. We started working with an innovative doctor named LaFair to build a PTSD program specifically for the vets because they weren't happy with most of what they were dealing with. And now we have built our own PTSD programs from scratch, our own homeless programs from scratch, and we help about 1,400 homeless veterans in the street a year and about 2,200 homeless civilians in the street every year. Aaron is the life-changing catalyst there that keeps our recidivism rate low. And last year, we furnished 169 homeless veterans apartments on referrals, primarily from other agencies.
Aside from PTSD and housing situations for veterans, is there a program in place that addresses the issue of food insecurity?
We have a food security program that's kind of a PTSD program. We do it at the holidays when PTSD triggers are high for financially struggling or emotional scarred veterans to cut down their risk of self-harm.
Aaron, this is where I'd like you to come in and give us an idea of some of the coping skills that are different between female soldiers as opposed to male soldiers.
I just facilitated our first women's only retreat in January. And we did women only, no male cooks, no male staff, anybody, until we were sure that it was okay. It went really well. And I think we have a lot of people who are going to come back because of those commonalities, because we could share experiences.
The experiences a female soldier will face as opposed to a male soldier. Could you elaborate on that?
Just because it was my experience, I was the first group of females on an aircraft carrier, which has a very large capacity, right? So, and there were 250 of us initially. You have to prove yourself every day. A good example was my first flight deck drill. You can't tell male from female when you're in full gear. And it was my first one. And I stepped over the hose instead of on the hose. That's a no-no, because if that hose charges, it's going to jump up between your legs. Except the commander of the ship didn't know that I was a female and not a male. And that was his shtick for the day. Everybody has to know to step on the hose and not over the hose. So that went well in front of the entire flight deck.
There's so many things you have to learn, so many responsibilities that you have in the military. And sometimes being a woman in what was a predominantly male atmosphere can also present a series of situations.
In my experience, there's a lot of animosity from some. There is the belief that women, one, either don't belong there or can't do as good a job as a male, or that they're a distraction. So you have to overcome or overwork or overprove everything you do. So that's just an added stress on top of everything that everyone else is going through as well.
I was in a long time. I was in 26 years. I don't remember often hearing from men that they didn't want women around. There was a lot of question marks on the male side about physical strength. If you're a casualty, are they going to be able to carry me out? If I need somebody to drag me off a battlefield while there's a gunfight going, are they going to be able to do it? And all the concerns I heard were physical issues, not brain or desire or heart to do it. Part of the discussions I had were about how do we do the physical strength piece to keep things closer together on that. And I'm here to tell you, there are some women in the military that are way stronger than most men. I mean, you need to look no further than a UFC ring, right? There are some really strong women out there, which does a lot to get rid of those concerns, right? Where you have to prove yourself. I don't think anybody questions the heart, the spirit, the willingness, the brains, any of it. I don't know if it's fair, but it's a very physically demanding world. How do you juggle that? So hopefully the future finds the best path for that.
Aaron, I'd like to go back to the seminar that you conducted. It was your inaugural event, and I was hoping you might be able to share with us some of the comments the women had.
The female version of the retreats was the same as the male's program was.
Did you see a change in them?
Yes, a couple pop in mind specifically. One of the activities that we do is an outdoor, blindfolded, kind of letting someone guide you without verbalizing. And I think probably one of my favorite moments during that entire session or the entire group was I'm leading as a facilitator. So we've got a blindfolded person and a person concentrating on helping them. And I'm watching the two of them. And the sun came out and all of a sudden it started snowing and we were all just frozen in the woods. And so you say, was there a relaxed look afterwards on their face? And I just had one of those, wow, this is a really amazing moment. The sun and the snowflakes. Yes, it was a release. And as it always is for us, it was just as special a moment. It was more of a moment for myself than they had any idea was going on. Things were leaving them and they didn't even know it. I'm watching it and what it was doing for me. As many differences as there are not, but between men and women or how we do them with the two classes. But we teach fly fishing and tying flies as a healthier lifestyle habit to get out of your head, to not do the unhealthy things and self-medicate. And, well, a lot of us females aren't also into fishing or tying flies. So we tried to come up with something that we could do that completed the same goal, but not fishing. And we haven't really gotten that down yet. And so I'm kind of interested to work on what that will be. This was the first one, obviously, and that we were trying to grow and build off of that one. So everything we did was kind of a, okay, well, how can we do this? Or what would be better than, does this apply? Does this not apply? So yes, everyone had suggestions.
The 4th of July is coming up, the 250th celebration of our country, and there will be a lot of fireworks displays.
Yep.
A lot of noise. When that happens, and it's going to happen all over the place, what do you do?
The startle reaction is a problem, and we try to manage it in different parts. She mentioned earlier the healthy lifestyle adjustment things. We do fly fishing for the warm weather, but in the cold weather, you have to have something else, and we try to advocate for outdoor things like hunting. And we don't allow firearms because of the startle reaction issues. So we do everything with archery as a means, recognizing systemically the demographic of people, it's a problem, right? But how do you manage a whole society to not have fireworks when they replicate a national anthem as the rocket's red glare piece is kind of where the whole fireworks come from, right? That's what they're part of the celebration of. Through battle, we were formed. It is indeed an important part of our history. It's a established cultural heritage celebration. And for the people that have seen those actual rockets, red glare equivalents of modern times, it is a strange dynamic for the replication to celebrate being victorious in those circumstances, be your nemesis at home. It's a hard thing to juggle because the right thing to do is clap that we can have that celebration. That's the right thing to do. And equally, startle reaction can't be ignored. So I would encourage the vets to do their best with and some earplugs. You are the reason for the celebration, whether you would realize it or not. And I would encourage the vets to make the change in ways to mitigate the shock value of when those things go off. If you know something's going to happen, it's less problematic, usually, not always. There is nothing you can do to mitigate loud sounds. So for all the other vets that have endured similar experiences, you have my heartfelt empathy. It is a difficult thing, and the only thing I would encourage is, hey, on that day, how about you put the little yellow foamies in your ears and a set of earphones over so the sound's not as sharp, and try to mitigate it some.
Very special thanks to Sergeant Major Mark Bayless and Aaron Kelly of the Monroe County nonprofit Valor, helping regional soldiers regain their stability and their independence. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.